Welcome back in. Jim Davis along with Cake, Tyler Franson from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. While texting on Wednesday was great. Thursday was phenomenal. Today it's been bad. It's going to suck today. Let's be honest. It's going to be blunt about it. You can do better. I expect better from you. You have a chance to win a bottle of wine from Talon Winery, the Winer of the Week. Andy might have nominated me. This thing was whining about Colton Welker. He should get an 80-game suspension. Bonds. Barry Bonds did test positive three times. Let's just that's what came out in the perjury case against him. Got one from Dom today about the Nick Wright. Nick Wright's certainly a candidate for this.
For Winer of the Week.
Do you have that clip at the ready again with him?
Yes.
You play that again. Nick Wright from what? FS1, correct?
I believe so. Fox Sports, he's talking about the MVP race and why it should be Chris Paul and not Nikola Jokic in one of the dumbest 40 seconds I think I've ever heard in my life.
And the MVP having to be awarded in some hallway somewhere because he's not playing in round two ain't great. And in the macro wilds, when you look at the list of league MVPs over history, I say this with respect to Jokic. Historically speaking, he would be the worst one we've had in 35 years. Chris Paul wouldn't be. Chris Paul's an all-time great player. Yep. Nikola Jokic is having a great season and a very good player. But when you look at who's won the MVPs, oh, it's Giannis, it's Steph, it's LeBron, it's Durant, it's Rose pre-injury, Nikola Jokic. Oh, okay. That must have been a weird season.
I didn't even acknowledge this the first time we played that clip when he says that the MVP award is going to be awarded in a hallway somewhere because they won't make it at a round two. So he's already counting out the Nuggets to not make
sure.
It.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he's...
Even though this is a team that made the Western Conference Finals last year.
And I get it right now. There's doubt because of Jamal Murray done for the season. I understand. I get the doubt. But to say that he's not worthy of this and that he would be the worst one in 35 years, stop it.
Would you like to know the statistical probability of both Nikola Jokic and or Chris Paul winning MVP in 2021?
Okay.
This is according to basketballreference.com. Nikola Jokic, the number one player favored to win MVP, probability to win 64.3%. Odds of Chris Paul to win MVP, 1.4%.
And it's not that Chris Paul's having a bad season. The Suns are having a brilliant season. But here's Jokic's numbers right now. Okay, he's playing 35 minutes a game.
Which is 4 minutes more than Chris Paul.
Field goal percentage is at 56%.
Which is 7 more than Chris Paul.
And I get it that Jokic's big guy, post player, dunks, layups, that's more part of his game than it is for Chris Paul. As far as from the foul line, he's an 85% free throw shooter. He's pulling down, and I get it, it's Chris Paul, this isn't his thing, but Jokic is averaging almost 11 rebounds per game, over 8 assists per game. And he's averaging 26.4 points per game.
So, Chris Paul, you mentioned rebounds. Nikola at just a shade under 11 rebounds per game. Chris Paul, 4.5 total rebounds per game.
Which, I mean, I get it. He's a backcourt player. Nikola's a frontcourt player. And there's different things that those guys do.
Yeah. By the way, on the list of favored... So, And I like this list a lot because it doesn't like go into every single, like, here's the leader in this category. Here's the leader in this category. It's just the players who you think are going to be MVP this year. Nikola Jokic has the best 3-point percentage shooting of the 10 players they think that are going to be MVP. So the 10 being Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Dame Lillard, and Chris Paul.
He's the best player in the league right now.
He is.
And so stop this horse crap that he's not worthy of it. and that Chris Paul is, well, because Phoenix is the second best record right now in the Western Conference. Okay, Chris Paul's had a really good season, but it's about how the importance. They also have Booker there too, by the way.
Right.
How, I mean, Nikola Jokic, it's about being the most valuable player for your team. He's been that guy for the Nuggets. Let's not kid ourselves about that. And again, Michael Porter Jr. has come on and been far more consistent and definitely has helped to fill some of that void. But let's not diminish what Nikola Jokic. First off, his name is Nikola. It's not, he's not a cough drop.
Nikola.
No, it's, and I get it. You're down on the Nuggets. Okay, fine. But don't diminish what this guy's accomplished. That's just stupid. That's clickbait, hot take crap from Nick Wright.
We're not even going to get into the fact that the Nuggets' second best player and a perennial all-star himself in Jamal Murray went down for the year and possibly a good chunk of next year, too. And since then, the Nuggets are 10-2. And that's almost entirely because of Nikola.
And they're a half game out of third in the West right now. And they just beat the Nuggets, the Knicks the other night, one of the hottest teams in the NBA. Okay, fine. You're down on the Nuggets, Nick Wright. Don't be down on Nikola Jokic, because the guy has earned the opportunity to be in this spot, to be the league's MVP. All right, so text in today, Winer of the Week with Talon Wines. We're also going to give away a pair of tickets to the Highland Games next weekend out at the Mesa County Fairgrounds. Young Dubliners are going to play out there. It's just a lot of fun. If you haven't been out to the Highland Games, your chance to go out and check it out next weekend. And we're going to give away Qdoba today. Text or call in. Thoughts on these things. Better of chance of it happening. Rodgers to Denver or Patrick Surtain Jr. being named the NFL Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. 80 games for Colton Welker. Getting suspended for PED use, though there's some debate about what he took and how the quantity that showed up in his test,
right,
and some of those things that have been mentioned and talked about. So text in today, your chance to win, 970-242-1340. Love to hear from you. All right. Got one from Buffalo Mark, who is not eligible, by the way, to win. Sorry, Mark.
But the content of his text is what we're looking for.
Because,
we've got a whiner. you, Buffalo Mark. Yeah. I'm not talking about you, but
it's, diehard Alabama fan, our colleague Buffalo Mark. He says, I can't let this go. Saban and Bama have eaten the Aggies lunch since Loudmouth arrived in College Station. The Tide is 3-0 in that span against the Laggies, outscoring them 2-1. And all those A&M boosters got for $75 million was that Fisher always delivers a bunch of hot air. I can't argue with any of that. It's all true. All right, so text in today, 970-242-1340. Jim, along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Before we get to our conversation with Vince Smith, CMU lacrosse coach, by the way, the Mavericks play today at 3 o'clock against Adams State, and the Golden Voice. Cake will be out there doing the PA on that.
Thank you. And by the way, you had asked the question earlier what the record was for the Mavs against Adams State, 23-0.
Yeah, I thought they had never lost to them. So,
in conference, 21-0. At home, 13-0. On the road, 9-0 at a neutral site. They've only played once, and they went the favor of the Mavs.
And Vince Smith's going, shut up. Don't
stop talking.
That. Coach Smith's going, stop it. Don't mention that. Don't want anybody to hear that. All right. Got one from Dylan today on the text line. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you. Rodgers to Denver's a better chance. Don't understand how some of these whack jobs like Nick Wright and many others are even qualified to be on TV to talk about sports. The 4 or 5 games remaining against the LA Kings should be an automatic 8 points for the Avs. Let's hope, Dylan, that starts tonight with the Avs and the Kings. Okay, one thing I want to get to, one final thing before Vince Smith joins us here, via Memorex, via tape, that the athletic NFL staff, they put together trade packages for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
So, of the teams that have been mentioned that have an interest in him. So, they have, of the three teams, the Washington football team.
Interesting choice.
The Raiders and the Broncos. Okay. So we will. Here's what they put together as a trade package from Washington. Quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Doesn't surprise me.
Defensive tackle Daron Payne.
Okay.
Wide receiver Antonio Gandy Golden.
Who?
Wide receiver Antonio Gandy Golden. That's a 2022 first round pick and a 2023 first and second round picks.
I'm sorry. The receiver named Antonio Gandy Golden, he sounds like a 19-teens baseball player nickname.
And at shortstop, Antonio Gandy Golden.
Antonio Gandy Golden there at first base. It's a great name. I love it. I'm not knocking it. It's
not a household name though.
It could be if it goes to Green Bay.
Maybe so. So the Raiders. This is the proposed package from the Raiders.
Okay.
For one, Aaron Rodgers. Derek Carr.
No surprise.
Inside linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski.
Okay.
Guy that I wanted the Broncos to get, but Raiders signed him. Former Chicago Bear. Guy that played for Vic Fangio.
Okay.
2022 first-round pick and a 2023 first-round pick.
Okay.
All right. That's
not a bad deal. That's actually not a bad deal at all.
I'll be honest of the quarterbacks, because each team will be sending a quarterback their way, this would be the best quarterback move for Green Bay.
It would be the best move for Green Bay. Where I will counter is, if you're Vegas, does the addition of Aaron Rodgers with the roster you have currently, does that addition automatically put you in contention for, among other things, AFC West to beat out the Chiefs for the division title? Potential AFC championship game contention, and then, of course, Super Bowl. Do you feel confident enough that you've essentially mortgaged off your franchise quarterback now for a franchise quarterback that you think can get you to a Super Bowl in the immediacy?
Yeah, the Raiders.
It's a tough question. It's because it's not to say that Derek Carr is elite per se, but he's not bad, and he is, if you play him right, he is your franchise future quarterback, your long-term answer at quarterback, if all things fall into the right places.
Well, let's just talk about the offense, Rodgers comes and he immediately makes wherever he goes better.
Yeah.
That's going to be better. We know that.
Guaranteed.
But we know that to get to a Super Bowl, to have the kind of success we're talking about here, going to have to be a pretty good defense to go along with that. And you look at last year, the defensive rankings, the Las Vegas Raiders, they were 30th in total defense. Denver wasn't tons better, but they've also done a lot in the offseason to make themselves better with Ronald Darby, Kyle Fuller, drafting Patrick Surtain Jr.
Right.
They were 25th in total defense. Getting Von Miller back, it's
helps a lot.
You know, Kareem Jackson returns. Denver's defense has potential being a top five defense. Now, in the case of Washington, though, it's a Washington defense that's a pretty good unit. They were fourth in total defense last year.
They were.
And so they do lose Darby off that defense in him coming to Denver. But that's a, you know, with Young, and I think they've got Kerrigan coming back. They've got the potential there defensively with Rodgers a quarterback. That could be the kind of addition to that football team that could give Ron Rivera and Washington a chance at becoming one of the front runners
right
in the NFC with that. The Raiders, I don't think they've done enough defensively to make themselves better, and I think that's part of the problem there.
Yeah.
So here's the Broncos proposed trade from the Athletic NFL staff.
All right.
Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, 2022 first-round pick, and a 2023 first- and third-round picks.
Ooh.
Hate to give up two outstanding pass catchers like that, but they would still have Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick. They drafted Seth Williams, Albert Okubagwem, similar skill set to Noah Fant.
Right.
But that would be... That still gives him talent to work with.
It does.
The cupboard would not be entirely bare.
It does. However, If I'm Aaron Rodgers, what has been my number one complaint about Green Bay and their drafting?
Not having enough weapons.
I mean,
he's got Davante Adams, who's a top five receiver. Yeah. Aaron Jones has emerged into being a really good back.
Yeah.
But they don't really have much at tight end. They have Scanlon. They don't have great wide receiver depth.
Right. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm looking at that trade, I'm going, well, wait a minute. The reason I would want to go to a place like Denver in the first place is because they have a top five tight end, a potential top 10 receiving duo in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy playing opposite each other. You get rid of Jeudy and Fant in a trade, for me, I'm kind of back to square one
I think I can part with one, but I can't part with both.
Not with both, no.
I can't part with both of those guys. So
Fant is a maybe at best, just because I think you can ultimately put Albert Okwuegbunam in a position to kind of take on that role, but he doesn't have a lot of snaps under his belt.
And I think Jeudy will be much better in his sophomore campaign. Yeah. The drops will go down.
Even if Bridgewater's the quarterback.
Yeah, I just think if you're the Broncos, you're okay with maybe one of those guys and the picks that you're sending, but I don't know if you can do both. I don't know. That could be a deal breaker. But once again, according to Benjamin Albright and others, the Broncos have not even sent any kind of offer to the Packers. Packers are still doing the Heisman to everybody, saying, no, we're going to get this. We're going to make this work out with Aaron Rodgers. All right, we have the chance to talk with Vince Smith, the head lacrosse coach at CMU, the Maverick men. They host the RMAC tournament starting today, 3:00 with Adam State. Had a chance to catch up with him this week on the program. Vince, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
First off, congratulations on claiming the regular season title, the win against Westminster 16-7. You nailed down the conference championship, and you've won 4 RMAC regular season titles in 5 chances, 6 titles overall. I mean, it's, once again, another testament to how good the program is at CMU with your men's lacrosse team.
Thank you. You know, we're working really hard to try to keep that, the program moving in the right direction and just continue to keep that momentum that we've had building over the past few years moving forward this season and into next year.
Well, certainly Jed Brummett had a big game against Westminster to claim the regular season title. He had 5 goals in that game to lead your team. Just an outstanding effort by him.
Yeah, he was able to find some soft spots in the zone. Westminster switches back and forth between a man-to-man and a zone defense, and Jed's got a really high level of lacrosse IQ and was able to find some pockets in the zone, and we had some feeders get him the ball. And I think all of those goals that he had, all 5 of them were assisted goals, so that's always a good thing in the sport of lacrosse.
Vince Smith, the coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And then your goalie, Nolan Hoffman, 8 saves. He improves to 6-0. He also had a game-high 6 ground balls. Forced a couple of turnovers, too. So Nolan Hoffman on the defensive end giving you a solid effort.
He did. He did a really nice job. Nolan really has stepped up and came into his own the past few weeks, really growing in between the pipes for us. And as a sophomore, we're excited to have him back and see kind of where the future goes with him in the years to come, as well as finishing out this year strong.
Vince Smith, coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. We should acknowledge Nolan Hoffman, the RMAC Defensive Player of the Week, and Sergio Paleo, who had also a very good game against Westminster to claim the RMAC regular season title. Both those guys, Vince, bring home the weekly award.
Yeah, they did a really nice job. On the defensive end, Nolan just standing strong between the pipes and making those saves and creating some turnovers in our 10-man aggressive ride. And then Sergio, had 2 goals and 5 assists. 3 of those went to Jed Brummett, and who we'd spoken of earlier. Sergio, as a freshman, is an extremely fast player that has great vision. And, again, just excited to see where his career takes him over the next few years as well.
Maverick men's lacrosse coach Vince Smith with us today on the Team Sports Network. By winning the regular season title, Vince, your team will host the RMAC tournament over at Maverick Field. Your team right now 18th ranked in the nation at 8-1, 5-0 in the RMAC, and you get 4-seeded Adams State. They're winless on the season. You'll play them for the 3rd time, semifinal 3:00 Friday over at Maverick Field. So obviously a team that you know well and a team that you've had great success against in the Grizzlies.
Sure. You know, we played them, you know, this past Friday or two Fridays ago or Sundays ago now, and the guys did a really nice job playing hard in that game. But the first time around, we kind of were slow getting off the bus and didn't really play that great. So two wins against them this year, but you can always throw it out the window in the tournament. Best team's going to win. The team who decides to come to play the hardest and the longest is going to be the winner that day. So we're hopeful that ends up being us, obviously, on Friday.
And hopefully you'll be playing in the championship match 2 o'clock Saturday at Maverick Field. The other semifinal is Westminster. They're the 2 seed against CSU Pueblo, the 3 seed. And Westminster, the team, of course, you beat to claim the regular season title. It's a Westminster team that has also, and you know, certainly recently, has captured the 2019 RMAC tournament. Beat your team 9-8 in double overtime. What was a great match between you and the Griffins. But Westminster is there on that other side of the bracket to potentially face them on Saturday.
Sure. You know, I think that they've got a contest in front of them against Pueblo that, you know, coming into it, looking at records, they defeated them earlier in the season. Westminster should probably get through to Saturday. But, again, you know, best team's going to win the game and be there on Saturday, and hopefully that's us and whoever that ends up being. But, yeah, Westminster has a chance to be there. They've continued to improve, and something that we're talking about as a team is we can't look at the scores of our previous games and think that those are going to be an indication of how this upcoming weekend's going to go. We've got to come to work, and we've got to come to earn a championship, because as you alluded to, 2 years ago in 19, we left it over there in Salt Lake City, and we'd really like to bring it back home here to Grand Junction.
There are tickets available, limited number of tickets available for the matches on Friday. And you can go to cmumavericks.com/tickets to get your tickets for the RMAC men's lacrosse tournament over at Maverick Field. I do want to ask you this very quickly. I know you've got a call coming up. We wanted to be able to get you to that call with the NCAA, but it's your fourth conference title in the last 5 years. What has been the key in this program, Vince, of being able to be that good, that competitive in lacrosse, which is still, you know, the program for both the men and the women in lacrosse neither one have been around that long in terms of having a deep history. What's been the key to your success with this program?
I think it's been trying to surround ourselves with good people. Obviously, I think that here at Colorado Mesa University, our administration and our president, you know, do a fantastic job of making sure that we are competitive, having great facilities, affordable school, great academic programs as well. But then the other people, you know, having good assistant coaches, having good strength conditioning coaches, having good players and parents. I think those have all been a major part of the components that have led to our success, is that real kind of communal feel and family feel that we've made our program. And when everyone comes to work hard and you're working with good people, it makes it that much easier to do those things.
All right, Vince Smith, head coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team. Once again, that is today, 3 o'clock over Maverick Field, the RMAC men's lacrosse tournament semifinals. Mavericks against Adams State. Once again, that is 3 o'clock today at Maverick Field. Mavs, by the way, they lost to Mount Olive, ranked 8th in the nation, 3rd in the region. They lost 11-10 in overtime. That's one of those matches that, you know, when it comes to the five spots right, available, that kind of looms there as a potential reason why they may not get in.
A bit of a millstone, almost.
Exactly. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back. But first, though, we have a winner for Talon Wine. Got to play the official winner chicken dinner sounder today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Okay, it's wine to go with your chicken.
Yes.
And it's not just any wine. It's Talon Wine from Talon Winery. Thanks again to James. And I'll let you read the winning text today from Jolene over at CDOT.
From Jolene today, she said, "Good morning, team. Nick Wrong, not Nick Wright, is just clickbait. You can watch another video he does from his car talking about TV ratings and how Jokic doesn't draw attention because of being from a smaller market team. Rodgers to the Broncos would be crazy and probably more likely to happen than Sertan getting Defensive Rookie of the Year. Pass rushers tend to get the most looks for that award. Have a great day." The clip she's referring to about Nick Wright or Nick Wrong in his car.
In this case, yeah.
The exact quote, I think, from what I remember, because I know what she's talking about, is something to the effect of, as a media personality or as a TV host, talking about the Nuggets is not good for ratings. He said something along those lines of talking about the Denver Nuggets is not good for ratings. Which, come on, Nick. You said the quiet part out loud. You just admitted that you know there's a coastal bias. And you're only pushing for Chris Paul because it's flashier, it's clickbait, it's sort of the flavor of the month, if you will. But I'll remind you, he has a 1.4% probability to win MVP. Nikola Jokic has a 64% probability.
And so, okay, so when did all of a sudden talking about the Suns becomes, pardon the expression here, hotter nice. than talking about the Nuggets? I get it. The Suns are having a great year.
Yeah.
They're second in the Western Conference right now. Booker, Paul, they've been great. But it wasn't that long ago that Phoenix wasn't very good. It was an absolute disaster.
They were literal hot garbage.
Where the Nuggets have been under the Michael Malone regime, a couple of years they came up one game short of making the playoffs. Last year they get all the way to the Western Conference Finals. They've been the better, more consistent team with tons of young stars. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray.
They've gone against the grain of this this trend that I think you can make an argument that got started with LeBron about going to Miami, and then you had Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, the super team, and free agency and trades and everything. You have a Nuggets franchise and Tim Connelly that has said, we are going to go old school, draft players that we think can contribute, develop them, get them minutes. The reason that RJ Hampton was ultimately traded was because his potential was there, but he just wasn't able to get minutes on a team that already was pretty stacked. So they sent him to a team where they knew he could get some more playing time and develop his craft. It was all love. There was no love lost in that trade to the Magic. So you have a Nuggets team, again, they're kind of almost antithetical to what current NBA is, which is, well, I'm a big superstar and I want to go play here and here and here, and we're going to have all these guys here and we're going to form a super team. No. Draft, develop, long-term solutions, and then you sort of build from within and not with money or cap space.
Like I said, the Suns they've got a really good roster. Devin Booker's great. He's 25, almost 26 points per game. Chris Paul, we talked about his numbers. Bridges is averaging a little over 13 points per game. Jai Crowder, under 10, but DeAndre Ayton, the former Arizona standout, almost 15 points per game. They've got a really good lineup, but what about I get it. The Suns are higher in the standings right now than the Nuggets. But you've got a guy that people have been talking about for a long time now, Nikola Jokic, and Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to say, well, I don't want to talk about the Nuggets because it's bad for ratings, bad for business. Well, what makes the Phoenix Suns all of a sudden the more attractive team to talk about when you're talking about a Nuggets team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year, a team that is a half game out of third in the West? Give Phoenix their due. It's been a great season for them. But I just, Jolene, great points. Jolene, the winner today of our Winer of the Week with Talon Winery. Thank you very much, Jolene. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And I felt bad because we had the wrong interview for Brian Bristol. We will have that for you in a little bit. Also, this day in sports history, some garbage time as well. And still time to win those Highland tickets, the Highland Games, next weekend out at the Mesa County Fairgrounds, 15th and the 16th, and also Qdoba today. Our questions are simple ones. Well, I think they're relatively simple. More likely to happen, Rodgers to Denver or Patrick Surtain Jr. winning the Rookie Defensive Player of the Week award, the Year award, excuse me. Also, Colton Welker, should he get popped for 80 games in this whole thing with the positive test for what's perceived as a performance-enhancing drug by Major League Baseball? So send that to us today. Text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Take a break and come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader, online at thetheteam1340.com.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
You may ask yourself why you haven't texted in yet. You may ask yourself, do I want to win something today? You might say to yourself, I'd like to go to the Highland Games. I'd like Qdoba. Why haven't I done this? What have I done wrong? You haven't texted in yet. 970-242-1340.
Perfect.
David Byrne, Scottish.
There you go.
The Highland Games. There you go. There's a little tie-in. I'll be honest, I didn't know that forever. I did not realize that he was Scottish.
It's the singing.
I always assumed he was American. When you listen to him talk, he doesn't, because he's been over here, you know, for decades.
Right.
He doesn't have an accent when he talks.
Huh.
But he lived a good chunk of his life in Scotland before he moved to the States. Hanging at CBGB's and all that with the Talking Heads, with Tina Weymouth and Chris Franz and Jerry Harrison. Talking Heads.
Did not know that.
Yeah. He has a blog. Things to be, I think, grateful for. And it's got, basically, it's positive stories about things. Like, hey, the world doesn't suck. There's some good things going on. And it's kind of a cool cool little website, a little blog that he does.
Love it.
All right, I'm going to answer our question today because we have the better odds, Rodgers to go to the Broncos or Patrick Surtain Jr. to be named NFL Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. Depending on which site you go to, Surtain is fourth in the odds. Micah Parsons is the favorite to be your NFL Rookie Defensive Player of the Year.
That doesn't surprise me.
With Rodgers, Denver's the number one team in contention for pretty much everybody laying odds on this whole thing.
Right.
Benjamin Albright, Broncos country tonight, 850 KOA, said he thinks it's about a 50-50 chance that Denver gets him. I'll just go with the odds here. I'll say better chance that Rodgers ends up in Denver than Patrick Surtain ends up being the NFL Rookie Defensive Player of the Year.
I like the point that Jolene made that pass rushers are typically more so, and that's true not just of Defensive Rookie of the Year, but that's Defensive Player of the Year. Because I think the last time you had Stephon Gilmore, who won Defensive Player of the Year, what, 2 years ago? Something like that?
Believe so.
And that's like, you know, that was a seemingly rare occurrence because he's a defensive back. He's not in on the, you know, the trenches or front line guys like your, you know, your edge rushers or your linebackers. So
here's your guys that have won NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
Not Rookie of the Year, but NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Aaron Donald, defensive tackle, interior pass rusher, but the best in the business. Stephon Gilmore, you mentioned him, Patriots cornerback. Aaron Donald, 2018-2017.
Noticing a trend here.
Khalil Mack.
Linebacker.
Edge rusher. J.J. Watt, defensive tackle, but
edge rusher.
Still, you know, is considered a pass rusher. Luke Kuechly, the now retired Luke Kuechly, inside linebacker.
Yeah, kind of inside backer, but
not a tremendous pass rusher, but a tackle machine.
Would just when he light played. You up.
Yeah, so there's truth in what she's saying. Pass rushers tend to be
pass rushers guys, and tacklers more so than
right than cornerback. But I mean, Stephon Gilmore did buck that trend in 2019. But you have to go all the way back. You have to go to this would get off the screen. Leave me alone. You have to go back to Troy Polamalu in 2010 when. And he was a safety, not a corner.
Right.
But a defensive back, one player, defensive player of the year before Stephon Gilmore did in 2019. And then it was Charles Woodson. Before that, James Harrison, Bob Sanders, safety. So it's, she's right, more often than not, it's edge rushers or it's, you know, guys that like a Kuechly, guys are tackle machines that end up winning that award. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers to Denver as the better likelihood. The 80-game suspension for Colton Welker. I'd like for Major League Baseball to establish some level, like other pro sports leagues have, UFC, a minimum on what, okay, how much can they test of this certain particular substance.
Right.
Because it certainly sounds to me like it's a substance that really isn't going to help him get bigger, stronger.
Yeah.
And isn't that what this is about?
That's exactly what it's about.
And if it's not, then why are you suspending this guy for 80 games? It's going to hurt his development a big, big way. Guy that they hope will at some point in time be a factor for the Rockies, you know, playing in the infield. And
yeah.
And it hurts.
And it
hurts.
And it gets back to a question that I had earlier, of which is who's what lesson is learned here and who's teaching it to whom?
Right.
Is the league teaching it to Colton Welker and any other AAA prospect guys that go, this is what happens when you cheat or when you try to do performance-enhancing substances? Or are they trying to teach upper-level, upper-echelon guys, saying, hey, if this is what we are willing to do to a prospect, wait till you see what we got planned for you if we bust you doing this?
All right, so if you got some thoughts on that today, text or call us 970-242-1340. Before we bring back the actual interview I wanted to play, we'll take a break. But before we do that, the interview with Brian Bristol, Plateau Valley's head football coach. The Bill Fanning Memorial Classic. Always love to think about Coach Fanning.
Yep.
Bill was such a great guy. At the University of Colorado, he's in their Athletic Hall of Fame, National High School Coaches Hall of Fame for all the years that he coached Chass, obviously. Bill was a tremendous baseball coach, official for a long time as well. But today, the Bill Fanning Memorial Classic. You have Fruita Monument against Heritage, 11 o'clock at Saplesio. Grand Junction against Liberty at noon at Canyon View. Fruita Monument Ponderosa, 2 o'clock today at Saplesio. Grand Junction Pooter at 3 today at Canyon View. And then Central gets Ponderosa 5 o'clock tonight at Saplesio. So get out and watch some high school baseball, Bill Fanning Classic, going on today and tomorrow at both Saplesio and Canyon View. All right, we turn to this day in sports history. 1917, in a pitching battle between two all-time greats, Babe Ruth. You mentioned Babe Ruth earlier today.
Yes.
The Shohei Ohtani question. And the Boston Red Sox defeat Walter Johnson and the Washington Senators 1-0. Ruth allowed just two hits and drove in the winning run on a sacrifice fly. 1925, Pittsburgh shortstop Glenn Wright records an unassisted triple play after catching a line drive off the bat of St. Louis's Jim Bottomley. Wright stepped on second to double off Jimmy Cooney and then tagged Rogers Hornsby, who was running from first. So he turned an unassisted triple play.
Wow.
1960, Larry and Norm Sherry of the L.A. Dodgers are the 10th brother pitcher-catcher battery in baseball history. 1972, Lakers won their first title since moving to L.A. They beat the Knicks in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Also, 1982, a California federal jury rules that the NFL violated antitrust laws in preventing the Oakland Raiders to move to Los Angeles. Also, Michael Jordan hit his famous shot over Cleveland's Craig Ehlo. Still brings back sadness and night terrors to our boy, the Buckeye boy. Hits that shot to give the Bulls a 101-100 win in the deciding Game 5 of their opening round series. 93, Wayne Gretzky scores career playoff goals number 100 and 101 and a 7-4 Kings win over Vancouver. Also on this day, 2009, Yankees closer Mariano Rivera gives up back-to-back jacks for the first time in his career, with Tampa Bay's Carl Crawford and Evan Longoria hitting consecutive home runs against him. And that's this day in sports history. 9:42 coming up next. You still have time to text in, by the way, to win the pair of tickets to the Highland Games next weekend out at the Mesa County Fairgrounds. Also Qdoba today. Text in 970-242-1340. We'll have garbage time and also our conversation with Plateau Valley football coach Brian Bristol. That's next, right here on the Jim Davis Show.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim Davis along with Cake from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. All right, this time we want to bring you the correct interview with Brian Bristol, Plateau Valley head football coach. They take on Hoeny tonight in the eight-man semifinals. I said I hoped we'd be talking this week about a trip to the semifinals, and here we are on a Monday talking about a trip to the semifinals. Congratulations on your team's victory over Justice, and boy, your quarterback did a whale of a job once again. Talon Long had a really solid game for you. threw for two touchdowns. He also rushed for a score. You get the 22-8 victory over Justice to move on to score off against the top seed Honey coming up this weekend.
Yeah, he and others really stepped up and worked on the passing portion of our game this weekend, and it showed, and I was real proud of them.
What were the things you tried to emphasize with your passing game leading up to this game with Justice that you wanted to improve upon, some things you felt like you'd played them, obviously, during the regular season, some areas where you felt like you could exploit with your passing game?
We knew we could move the ball on the ground against them, but we also were looking ahead to Honey, and we knew we were going to have to develop that passing game to get the ball outside in space really quick. So we just worked on our quick game this weekend and had some great yards after the catch and yards after contact in the quick game. So it was a really good growing game for us.
Yeah, 92 yards for Talon Long through the air, a couple of touchdowns. As I mentioned, he also had a good game on the ground, a touchdown run, 121 yards on 22 carries. And a young man that we talked about last week that you had moved from offensive line to being your running back, Colton Witzel, really solid game. Didn't find the end zone, but 141 yards. He averaged almost 8 yards per carry in that win against Justice on Saturday.
Yeah, he did an excellent job. He has a great cutback vision. And he also is just a powerhouse after first contact. I think he probably had 40 of that 141 after somebody was hanging on to him.
Brian Bristol, coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And just, you know, looking at what your team did defensively, held them to just the 8 points, and a lot of guys around the ball carrier. Seal Echeverry, he had 8 tackles to lead you. Colton Witzel on both sides of the football, he had 6 tackles. Your defense did a really good job against Justice.
Yeah, they did. Our defensive coordinator, Daniel Hunter, and Tony Pedregon's been helping him. They had a great game plan again, and outside of a little energy lull in the third quarter, they really held Justice to minimal gains on everything.
Brian Bristol, coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys, joining us. They're into the 8-man semifinals this weekend, taking on the top seed Honey. And Honey, of course, team you've already played. You opened up the season against them back in March, lost to them 50-18. But like you said last week, Brian, when we talked on Friday, that you play them as close as anybody did this entire football season. So you have some confidence to build upon that. But you know it's going to be a tough test against them on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure, especially on the road. You know, we have a long, long road trip, and they get to have a home game. So that's going to be a challenge that we have to manage. And I think I misspoke last weekend saying that Front Range Christian scored 100 on Honey, but it was the other way around. Honey scored 100 on them. So they've obviously vamped up their game over the course of the season, and we're going to have to do the same to make sure that we have a chance at this thing.
Brian Bristol, coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys football team, into the 8-man semifinals. For them, Weston Hill, the quarterback, had a good season. They also have a really strong rushing attack as well, Brian.
Yeah, that running back, first time we played him, he's second to none in terms of hitting the hole with a burst of speed. He can get through a tiny opening, and he's powerful. We got to just make sure the first guy gets a hold and everybody else rallies to get him down.
And I'd imagine up Colburn way, a lot of excitement about Plateau Valley. I bet you guys get into the semifinals.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of excitement. We had a big game turnout on Saturday. I think it was the first playoff appearance since 2016, and it was the first playoff win, I believe, since 2009. So there was a lot of excitement here for it.
All right, it's Brian Bristol, coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys. They play actually not tomorrow. They play tonight at Honey at 7 o'clock. Best of luck to Plateau Valley in that semifinal matchup. All right, it's 9:50, and it's time to hop in the dumpster.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, I love this.
Oh, yeah?
Fans, of course, now this year, there were no fans last year.
Mm-hmm.
For the Astros, after the Astros were hit for stealing signs, they have been incurring the wrath of fans ever since spring training this year. Well, apparently the Astros are now crying to Major League Baseball about people being too mean to them. David Tobbs, a Yankees fan who attended one of the games against the Astros this week, he told Sports Illustrated he showed up to Yankee Stadium in a Oscar the Grouch costume. It's like our open. And that was, of course, the reference to the Astros banging on a trash can as part of the sign stealing. Tob said he was stopped by security when entering the ballpark and informed he could not wear the costume.
Wow. Oh, that's incredible.
According to SI, Tob said a security guard told him our policy changed if the Astros had complained to MLB about the behavior of fans in other cities. Tob said he was told MLB asked the Yankees to be a little more strict on fans during the series.
Oh, whatever. This was the thing. This was what we missed out on in 2020, not having fans in the stands. The year after this Astros cheating scandal, the wrath that they would incur. I love it. I personally love it.
Now, there's an addition to the story that NJ Advance Media's Brendan Cootie, never heard of him, said he was told by a source that the Yankees were not contacted by the Astros before or during the series against them with any complaints regarding fan behavior. Officials from the Astros and the commissioner's office also said they were unaware of any such complaints. Remember, the Astros beat the Yankees 2017 ALCS. They went on to win the World Series, and that was when the sign-stealing scandal occurred. So.
There you go.
Where did it come? Did it come from Major League Baseball?
I would
assume so, but it's still a little bit of a mystery of why that Yankees fan was told he couldn't wear his Oscar the Grouch costume in the trash can. It was like when Fruita played Loveland in the state football playoffs.
Yes.
And Loveland got hit for spraying Pam on their jerseys to make their jerseys slick.
Yeah.
And the two Fruita kids showed up at the state title game
wearing the Pam costume.
And they were told to go away. That was hilarious.
That's fantastic.
Do you have anything today?
Well, I hate to end on kind of a downer, but this is a story that it's worth talking about just from a human standpoint. The loss of Jake Ellinger, the Texas linebacker, Sam Ellinger's brother, just so sad, and you feel for it. You know, here, right, he gets Sam Ellinger, the quarterback at Texas. He gets drafted to the Colts in the sixth round. He's riding the highest of highs, getting drafted to play professional football. And then next thing you know, your kid brother is no longer with you. And just so you feel for the family. So you hope, and there's been credit where it's due. A lot of like Texas rivals have sent well wishes and have like posted social media tributes to Jake Ellinger and the Ellinger family. So at the very least, it's good to see that even though we have our sports rivalries, that even they can come together and acknowledge the humanity and the loss of life. So
yeah, it's such a tragic loss. You know, young man who still had
21
life and a lot of football ahead of him. And they've also had to endure the loss of their father, Ross. He died in 2013. He was in a triathlon. He was only 46 and died while competing in that triathlon. So the Ellinger family's had a lot of tragedy to deal with the last several years. All right. Anything else today?
No.
That's it? You're not going to try to get us back on a positive note today?
RMAC men's lacrosse tournament today in Maverick Field. Yours truly doing PA announcing. Shameless plug.
Make sure you check it out.
It will be a good matchup, though. It'll be a couple of good games today.
All right. So, once again, we'll have the Nuggets and the Utah Jazz tonight. Should be a great game. Jason Kosmiski with the call. Pregame at 6:30. Rockies baseball tomorrow, by the way. 11:30 pregame. Rockies and Cardinals on the Team Sports Network. For Cake, I'm Jim Davis. Thanks again for joining us. And Jim Rome's coming up next right here on the Team Sports Network.